Good morning, and once again, welcome to all who are with us. It is good to see the presence of everyone. As was mentioned in the announcements, we have visitors with us, and we are grateful for the presence of each and every one of you, and we do want to invite you to come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have to do so. And if you have questions about something that you observe in the way that we worship God or something that is said in this lesson, please see me or one of the other members of this congregation following the services, and we will strive to do our best to give you an answer to your questions as to why we do what we do, or make arrangements for further study if that is a desire as well. As you can see on the slide here, today I am going to begin a study of lesson. What I'm actually describing as the theme for, or a theme that I have decided to develop for the year 2013, as we strive to serve God. This is something I decided toward the end of the year last year that I wanted to develop throughout this year. I wanted to start it earlier, but I had to complete our study that was supposed to be a part of last year, which was the life of Jesus. And of course, we completed that last week, and I hope that that was a beneficial study as well. This particular study is something that goes to the heart of the Christian. And it is very, very important. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 8, we find there very early in the teachings of Jesus as recorded in Scripture, in what is described as the Sermon on the Mount, one of the first things that Jesus begins with is what is described as the Beatitudes. And what those Beatitudes are attitudes that we need to develop within our lives. And actually, when you look at them, they are placed in an order which will draw one closer to God and give one a greater hope of heaven when this life is over. Amongst the Beatitudes that Jesus teaches, in verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 5, you read there, "Pure," or "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The reason we are here today is because we want to spend eternity with God. We want to see God when this life is over. But also, through the Word of God, we have the opportunity to see God, if you will, in this life by living according to the precepts that He has prescribed for us in His Word. In this coming year, we are going to examine some things that the Bible says about developing a pure heart in our lives. As Christians, we have it continually impressed upon our minds that our service to God must not only be based upon following His commands, and that certainly is important, but it also needs to come from proper motives, or you might say from the heart. And for many of us, the challenge that we face is striving to live godly lives with a pure heart. And it is with that in mind that this study is presented. Now, some of the things that we are going to examine as we go through this year, and someone might ask, how much does the Bible actually say about this subject? Well, some of the things that we are going to discuss in this study is we're going to talk about what is the heart of a Christian. As a matter of fact, next week, we're going to talk about the heart of a Christian. That is going to be followed by a lesson dealing with purity as it is described in the Bible. That is going to be followed, we're going to look today at some passages of Scripture which we're going to visit throughout our study that deal with purity of heart as it is found throughout the Bible. And as you can see on your outline, it's found often within Scriptures. We're going to talk about God's part in purifying man's heart. In addition to that, we're going to look at biblical examples of both pure and impure hearts, and there's a number of those that we can follow after, and some that we need to avoid. We're going to spend some time talking about the qualities of a pure heart. When you think of a pure heart, what comes to your mind? What comes to my mind is characteristics such as honesty and sincerity and single-mindedness, or purpose, if you will, virtue, being unpolluted, being disciplined, humility, focus. Those are all associated with the heart that a Christian ought to have. And we ask the question, how do we develop those things? We also want to be aware of the impure heart or the polluted heart. There are so many things that we face in this society that pollute the heart. For example, you have the influence of media. You have profanity in the language that is all around us. There's materialism. There's numerous poor attitudes. There's lust, hypocrisy, the teachings of men, that is false doctrine. All of those things pollute the heart. And we're going to talk about in detail some of those things and discuss how to avoid them and such. We're also going to deal with how can I purify my heart. And when I ask that question, first and foremost, we're interested in answering that question from a standpoint of, in the first place, if you will, being right with God. What steps do you have to take to purify your heart? And what changes do you need to make in your life? And of course, as we deal with that, we'll talk about what sanctification means. We'll talk about the idea of focus in our lives. Repentance. Oft-ignored subject, as well as prayer and other aspects that can help us to purify our heart. And when you reach that point where you have purified your heart, how can I maintain a pure heart? What are some things that I can do to ensure that my heart will remain pure, such as reaching forward, moving in a forward direction and not being dragged behind, letting go of the past, keeping busy, understanding what reverence means where God is concerned. We're also going to talk about purity throughout our lives. And what I mean by that is, and actually I'm going to approach this from two different directions. One of them is we're going to look at the various stages of life, such as youth. Next stage, I guess you'd describe it as the working years. I don't have I guess 20-something, 30-something, they describe it. How do you maintain your purity during those working years? What about middle age and when you reach the middle age crisis? What about old age? How do you maintain purity of heart, and are there aspects of our lives that are peculiar to those parts of your life, or those times in your life, and things that you can do to help you in that? And of course, the other approach to this is also to look at purity in every aspect of our life, from the standpoint of our conversations, our conduct, our relationships, purity in work, purity as we worship God, purity within our homes, and oh, how important that is. So we're going to talk about some of those things. We're also going to address the subject of purity in the Lord's church and where that is concerned. Understand this about purity of heart with the Lord's church. When the church is pure, it helps us to purify our hearts. When our hearts are pure, it helps to purify the church. They go hand in hand. So we'll talk about that. And we will also talk about the purity of God's Word, as it is the standard that we will be appealing to in this study, and the standard through which we must determine how to purify our lives. It is the standard that we will use as we determine another song that we might sing, Is My Heart Right with God? God's Word helps us to develop that. Following that, we're going to talk about challenges that are associated with a pure heart. We're going to talk about the conscience, doubt, and guilt that we deal with, as well as sincerity, ignorance, dealing with temptations, forgiving one another, being forgiven. We're going to talk about worldliness, patience, spiritual boredom. Those are all things that can actually affect the heart. And then, of course, we will conclude our study by dealing with the rewards of a pure heart. Rewards which include our hope that goes beyond this life. A hope of a home in heaven when this life is over. Living your life with a good conscience. And it is my hope that we will see that with a pure heart, that is an element that is integral to fellowship with God. having fellowship with God, answered prayers, as well as the blessings that God will provide for us. I'm actually going to talk a little bit about abuses concerning God's blessings in our lesson this evening, dealing with the health and wealth gospel. So I invite you to come back for that. But all of these things are associated with a pure heart. And as you can see, there's plenty to deal with in the subject of the pure heart. And it is my hope that as we go through this study, that each and every one of us will first and foremost examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, to see whether or not our hearts are pure, and if we find there's need for improvement, and there is for every one of us, it is my hope that we will have some tools that will help us to improve and that we will implement those things and that our lives will be spiritually better as a result of it. Now, the way this is going to work and the way that I typically deal with subjects of this length is we're going to go a few weeks at a time, so it's going to be divided into sections. So we'll study for a few weeks, and then we'll address some other subjects, and then we'll come back. And throughout the year, we are going to revisit this particular topic over and over and over. So that is the goal, and it is my hope that it will be a beneficial study. Now, why are we spending so much time on purity of heart? Number one, because the heart is at the foundation of everything that we do as Christians. Now, obviously, when I'm talking about the heart, we're not talking about the blood pump that is in our chests. Though I do believe that that was used as the analogy to help us understand the importance of the spiritual heart. And the reason it was used as an analogy is the understanding early on that heart has to be pumping or you're going to die. And that heart needs to be taken care of. And if that heart is impure, and if that heart becomes sick, and if that heart fails, your life will fail. That's why it is used as the illustration so often. And we're going to talk a great deal more about that next week as we discuss the heart. Of course, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, Solomon there said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." What is this heart? Obviously, since it's not the blood pump, what it actually is, it's the seat of our intellect. It's the seat of our emotions, our attitudes, our thoughts, our will. You might describe it as the mind. That's actually closer to the heart that we're dealing with spiritually. But actually what it has to do with this is what you make up your mind to do. The direction that you take your life. And it influences everything that you do and everything that you are in your life. That's why we need to study what the Bible says about the heart. It is at the foundation of everything we do. And without it, your life is empty. I think a good illustration of that, even though it's not talking specifically about the heart, though it is talking about an attribute of a pure heart, is that of love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul begins by saying in verse number 1, a chapter that describes Christian love. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." The description of love that you find in 1 Corinthians 13, and then Paul will proceed to describe love, that also applies to the heart of a Christian. If your heart is not pure, it doesn't matter what you do or what you say. In God's eyes, your conversation is merely noise. If your heart is not pure. If your heart is not pure, your conduct does not register with God. He expects us not only to do what He tells us to do, and hear me clearly, He expects us to do what He tells us to do. You know, I hear so many people in the world today that say it doesn't matter what you do as long as you have a proper heart. That is dead wrong. That is contradictory to what Scripture teaches. We have to obey God. But the bottom line is we have to obey God from the heart. It has to be with proper motives. And so, that's one reason that is at the foundation of this study. Secondly, we need to be closer to God. And one thing that we will learn in Scripture is that a relationship, if you will, with God calls for a pure heart. We read a few moments ago Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8 where Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And what is the result of that? They shall see God. We want to see God. In Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2, and we will notice a number of passages from Psalms as we go through this study. In Psalm 15, David does not actually use the term heart, pure heart here, but what he does say is, "Preserve me, O God," or excuse me, chapter 15, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor," so on and so forth. The one who will be in the presence of God, the one who will abide in his tabernacle, dwell on his holy hill, he's the one who walks uprightly and is righteous. Psalm 24 actually mentions the pure heart, and we'll actually address this verse a little bit later in our lesson. Something else that I think about is throughout the New Testament, we're told that God is to dwell within us. We're told that Jesus Christ is to dwell within us. And as such, we realize that our body is His temple. 1 Corinthians chapter, 6, talks about you are the temple of God, or the Spirit of God dwells in you. You've got to live a pure life. In chapter 3, it actually addresses that in dealing with the church. But later on in 1 Corinthians, he talks about in our lives as individuals, keeping yourself pure. Because you were bought at a price. You belong to God. We need to maintain a pure heart if we want Him to dwell within us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17, Paul there speaks about Christ dwelling in your hearts through faith. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11, you read there of the Spirit who dwells in you. And in John chapter 14 and in verse number 34, here Jesus speaking to His disciples, this is what he said there. Got the wrong chapter there. But it talks about Him coming and that if we are what we ought to be, that He will dwell within us, that the Lord will come and He will make His home with us. And that's the hope that we want as children of God. So our need to be close to God calls for a pure heart. But another reason that we want a pure heart is because the heart has a direct bearing on how we will treat one another as brethren. How important is it that we treat each other properly? Jesus told his own disciples, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And what Jesus was telling them when he said that is how important it is that we treat each other properly. Now what's going to motivate us to treat each other properly is if we have a proper attitude. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 22, Peter there says, "Love one another fervently with a pure heart." It calls for us to love each other. And that's a part of the way that we do treat each other. If your heart is right, we're going to care about each other and for one another the way that we are commanded to in Scripture. We're going to do for our brethren the things that we ought to do. But in addition to that, the heart has, if we want to win others to Christ, We need to have a pure heart. One of the quickest ways to turn people up in trying to teach them the truth is to act with hypocrisy. It is to be a hypocrite. It's to profess to follow after Christ, but in your life, not to live according to His precepts. And the way that we influence the world correlates to the purity that is in our hearts. To how pure our heart is. To whether or not our heart is what it ought to be. I'm reminded of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 13 through 16. The same sermon in which we have the Beatitudes, and mentioned right after the Beatitudes. So he begins by describing these eight attitudes, and then after that he immediately enters into a discourse dealing with the importance of our example. And he gives two illustrations there. He says in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men, Jesus says. And be the salt of the earth. We have to be a proper example if we are to season the world. If we are to glorify God, we have to have a light. We have to be a light. And the light that we have to shine is the light of the gospel. It is the light of Jesus Christ. And how often do we find in scriptures the contrast, spiritually, between light and darkness? And what is darkness associated with? Evil. Wickedness. The rejection of the truth. When mankind sees that we are not acting the way that we ought to act, when they do not see purity of heart in our lives, purity in our conduct, which results from our heart, something else Jesus talked about, they are not going to be impressed or seek to follow after Christ. That's why it is so important that we be a proper example in our lives. And a pure heart will help us to develop that attitude. Another product of a pure heart, and this is actually associated with what I was just talking about there, is it will cause us to live, to be a positive influence within the environment that we are a part of. And what I mean by that description there is the idea that whether we're talking about the community that we live in, whether we're talking about the workplace, whether we're talking about our homes, or whether we're talking about the church, the type of a heart that we have will have an influence on the way that we conduct ourselves in those environments. Do you want to be a positive influence in your community? Live a godly life. You want to be a positive influence at work? Well, do your job as an example, but do it according to God's Word, which means with honesty and integrity. And so many things that are lacking so often with so many in the workplace. You want to be a positive influence in your home? As a father, have a pure heart in raising your children. As a mother, have a pure heart. Treat husband and wife, treat each other with purity of heart, with respect, and let your children observe that. Children, as you develop a pure heart, you will make the home peaceful by obeying your parents, honoring your parents, so on and so forth. So you can see how this is all related. We need purity in every aspect of our lives. Another reason why we're conducting this study is because a pure heart is an important element in our security as Christians. If I make it down to brass tacks, if you want to go to heaven when this life is over, you need a pure heart. That's really the truth of it. Your heart needs to be what it ought to be. You need to cleanse your heart so that you can approach God and so that you can be in His presence. But going above and beyond that, when we think about the security of Christians, we can be sure of our salvation. We can have a clean and a clear conscience when we stand before God. He's going to look at our hearts. How often does Scripture remind us that God tests our hearts? Just turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse number 4. We read in that particular text there, 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul there says, "As we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." God wants to know whether or not you are sincere, whether or not you're going to follow after Him. He's going to test your heart. He's going to test your heart to see whether or not it is pure. Whether we like it or not, it's a test that we need to pass. If we fail the test, we've got problems. It's a serious thing to think about. And so you can see in all of these are why it is going to be productive to talk about being purer in heart. Now, for the remainder of my time, and I just want to introduce some of these passages, because as we go through our study, we will deal with all of them in much greater detail. But what we want to note is that God's Word speaks continually about the pure heart. First of all, let's talk about the texts that specifically mention a pure heart. And this is not an exhaustive list. In Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5, and this is a passage similar to Psalm 15, David there says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." You want to approach God? You want to be in the presence of God for eternity? You need clean hands and a pure heart. In Psalm 73 and in verse number 1, the psalmist there says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart." I find that to be an interesting statement, because Israel, when you study their history, was not very virtuous where God was concerned. Oh, they had times where they faithfully served God, generally as a nation. But the rule with Israel is they were rebellious. They turned against God. Nevertheless, the psalmist here recognizes that the reason God is good to Israel is for those who are pure in heart. We might describe them as the remnant. That's who God blesses. And it is because of them that He does what He does. You remember back in Genesis about 19? You remember why God spared Lot? You look at the text, it actually points out that it's because of his relationship to Abraham. Because of Abraham's godliness. And that's not to say that Lot was not righteous. We're actually told he was in the New Testament. But the point is, he was a friend of God. And he was with Abraham. And God said to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you." It's associated with that. God was good to Israel. And those who followed after him were the ones that received his greatest blessings. In Psalm 22 and verse number 11, And that's Proverbs 22, verse 11. It says, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. I want you to think about that. He who loves purity of heart, grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. What that is saying is, who's the king going to trust? Somebody that has proven himself to be a person of integrity. That's the idea of purity of hearts. And the idea of grace of lips is he controls his tongue. He thinks about what he says and how he says it. That's the one that the king is going to trust. And that's the general rule. If you want others to trust you, live in such a way that they will earn your trust. Going to the New Testament, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, where Paul gives instructions to Timothy to remain in Ephesus. And in verses 4 and 3 and 4 there, he's saying, charge them that they not be carried away with endless genealogies, that they don't fight with each other. And he says, and the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. That's the purpose of the commandment. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22. Paul tells Timothy, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You flee youthful lusts because they pollute the pure heart. And you pursue godly characteristics following the example of those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. These are attributes. These are the types of things that one who has a pure heart will pursue. That's the point that Paul is making there. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, Peter says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in the sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We mentioned this earlier. It's a passage that describes brethren to treat each other with proper motives. That includes a fervent love, which comes from a pure heart. In James chapter 4, and in verse number 8, James there says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If you're a double-minded person, that's two-faced. That's contradictory in your life. You're a hypocrite. You got to purify your heart. There you have the challenge for what you need to do as you change your life. And then there's Acts chapter 15 and verse number 9 where Peter is explaining to brethren why he went to a Gentile, Cornelius, as recorded in chapter 10. And as Peter is explaining what is going on there, or a little later on in Acts 15 when they're talking about what the Gentiles have to do and what they don't have to do, namely, they don't have to be circumcised. Peter recalls what happened with the household of Cornelius. And he says that God made no distinction between them and us, purifying their hearts by faith. You see the heart that is purified. And as the word faith is used there, my understanding of that is their obedience to the truth. Their obeying the gospel might be another way of describing that. They did what they were commanded to do. And as a result of that, their hearts were purified. And we're going to talk more about that in a future lesson. So you can see in all of these verses, over and over, the Bible talks about a pure heart. In addition to that, in Psalm 51, Proverbs 29, it talks about a clean heart. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, you're told there, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctification is a part of purifying the heart. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. Paul there says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Your heart established, blameless in holiness. All of those are descriptions of the pure heart. And Lord willing, as we engage in this study, we will see that God expects us to have a pure heart. And it is my hope that this study will provoke each and every one of us, and I include myself in this, to examine and see whether or not my heart is right with God, and to make correction where correction needs to be made, and from that point forward, live a life more secure with the hope of heaven when this life is over. So with that, I commend this lesson to you this morning.